Log Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Listen, because according to the numbers,
have 4,700 listeners on the Real Talk for Real People show. And if you're 4,701, I guess you already know what the Real Talk for Real People study show is about. And so you should. It's about the most important thing, most important relationship that you should ever have in your life. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And why do I say that? Because he knew you before you were the twinkles in your father's eye and a sperm in your mother's belly that produced you. So it should be imperative to you to get this relationship right. Just like any relationship, every relationship is codified. Relationship with your mother is codified. A relationship with your father is codified. A relationship with your children are codified. A relationship with your coworkers are codified. Everything has a code to go by. If you're spouses, there's codification and spousal relationship. And anything don't go, anything don't surpass. Because if you get anything wrong in these relationships, you suffer the consequences. And most importantly, you suffer the consequences when it comes to God, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You know, the thing that gets me about that, fellow students, as far as the Most High is concerned, they take him as he's a genie on a lamp, something you put on the back burner just when you need him, just when you need something. It doesn't work that way. That's why you should get these codes right in your relationship with him. So not simply because you can get something, because it's constructive and positive, and it's the right thing to do for us, the relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov is concerned. So we're here to bring the Most High to you in living color, so to speak. No jive, no junk, no sugar coating it. Just real and raw and uncut. And so you can make the determination how you proceed in the right way. And surely, you must proceed in the right way. And as I said, that's according to any relationship, as far as that is concerned. So if you understand about relationship, you understand about the relationship, you must try to promote with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And we try to give you a bird's eye view of those studies, historically speaking, a relationship with him, relationship to one another, because it's part of your history. Also, we try to give you a critical analysis and assessment of those studies and commentary. We also try to leave no stone or leaf unturned while crossing every T and dotting every I, so you can come to the core of the matter. The gist of what it's talking about, the essence, what the truth is in regards to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Praise and bless his holy name. Now you may be wondering, Yom Suf Arif, who are the we you're making reference to? If I may, Sister Avia from New York City. Sister Abby, I hadn't known the Most High that long, going on 10 years or so. But you can see the constructive and positive relationship she has with him by virtue of her actions. Not simply lip service to him, but her actions are indicative in the way she approached the Most High and the way she approached her brothers and sisters. She don't sugarcoat the truth. Although she loves him, she don't sugarcoat it. And ain't no jive talking with her either. Also, Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi utilized the Most High template, which is his word. And based on her experience and her observation, because she's been studying the Most High a long time, 30 plus years, she utilized the Most High in her life. And she viewed things through the prisms of the Most High Word, not through her own understanding. rash decisions. All of us have rash decisions. But she filtered everything to the Most High, just like we all should filter everything through the Most High. And Cottrell has a unique way of saying this. Cottrell says this, in her regard, what would King Darwin do? The thing is, the reason why Cottrell says that and the reason why Sister Yehudi expresses that, because of their studies of King Darwin. And they knew he was a man after the Most High own heart. Not that he was perfect, but he was perfectly entrenched in the word of Yah. And she's somewhat like that in her very life. Cottrell from New York City. Cottrell has studied the Most High and studied the Most High and will continue to do so to his last days here until the Most High come and restoration is in effect. You see, Cottrell, based upon his study of the Most High, have utilized the Most High on many occasions. But I will only pick two of his occasions. When he was 14 years old, he was feeling some sort of way like most 14 years old. They don't know what time it is and which way it's up. And don't really know what's going on. Just like some of you out there. Grown 14 years old, not little 14 years old. And Cottrell was ready to cash in his chips. The Most High love for him compel Cottrell to heed the counsel of the Most High and compel him to move in the right direction, not leaning to his own understanding, as would guide him in that state of mind. Cottrell went to the Psalms, mostly written by King Darwin, and he studied those Psalms intently, looking for the key to code, and he found them. 14 years old and 60 plus and still counting. Why? Because of the Most High. The Most High gave Cottrell the fortitude to see things the way they really were. And they have the strength to move forward in the right direction by way of those Psalms. Also, when Cottrell became a young man, a young husband, had to put in work for his family. Cottrell went into carpentry in New York City. I suspect that Cottrell thought it was going to be two-story joints. It didn't turn out to be that way. It turned out to be these high-rise buildings that Cottrell didn't have an affinity for heights. The heights didn't like him, and he didn't like heights. There again, Cottrell went to the Psalms of King Darwin, Koriah Brothers, and Aesop, and so on and so forth. He studied those, looking for the key to code, to identify the constructive and positive relationship with Yah in order to get things that he needed to get him past, as in the case when he was 14 years old. Every morning, Cottrell would get up and beseech the Most High for the strength and the lack of fear to overcome his heights, his fear of heights. The Most High gave him that lack of fear and the strength to overcome. And he did 30 years. Every day he would get up beseeching the Most High. And every afternoon when he got off from work, he would thank the Most High. Those are the keys. Don't talk about them. It's Cottrell, it's Sister Yehudi, and Sister Aviyah. Don't just talk about it. Don't just study about it. Be about it. Apply it. It'll work for you. Anything else will work on you. Praise and bless the Most High. Let me bring them forth for you. So stab you out. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praise and glory to Yah. I'm so grateful and thankful that Yah has given us another evening to gather together. And with that, I say shalom, and may he continue to bless us all.
Thank you, Sister Avia. It's good you're here for the gathering. Praise and bless the Most High. Also, Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Thank you. Bless everyone on this line as well as people that are listening.
I'm thankful to be here in the name of Most High. And I always ask the Most High to live more humble, to slow to anger, and do the best that I can with all my heart and my soul. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have you. Thank you. God, Trail, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. Bless you all, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Family, I love y'all. Shalom. How y'all doing?
We love you too, brother. We're doing well.
Love you too. Yep.
And that introduction, man, you bring back memories, man. Anytime you like read my resume.
I mean, I still has that appeal on you, don't he?
Oh, man. You take me back to some dark places, man.
Yeah.
Oh, fear.
We all been
there. Fear is not a good thing.
It's not.
Nah.
I can imagine, contrary to how you was feeling with those heights. I know that was a terrible experience until you got connected with the Most High on that.
I almost fell into a hole that was 5 stories deep. Ooh-wee.
Ooh, how did you manage to evade falling in?
Well, on construction sites, people run around like chickens with their heads cut off, let me tell you.
Right.
It's frantic. And it's dangerous.
Right.
When I first got on construction sites, I was kind of petrified, like most people are.
Right.
But I began to slow down. You know, people were screaming and hollering and cursing at you. And when I almost fell into that hole, y'all said, slow down. If they're going to fire you, they're going to fire you. But you ain't falling in no hole. So it was crazy because my partner, he's telling me, he's frantic. He's pushing me to find a piece of plywood, 4x4.
Right.
I'm running around the site looking for a piece of plywood, 4x4. I
find
a piece of plywood, 4x4 on the floor. I pick it up and get ready to take a step, and this light hit me in the eye. A light hit me in the eye.
Right.
I looked down, it was 5 stories deep. If I had to take another step, I would have gone 5 stories.
Praise God, Katria.
So from that day on, I had to ignore all the cursing, all the screaming, all the hollering, and say, no, my safety is first.
I feel you, Katria. I can identify with you on that. Because, I love water, but it don't love me. And I was on a boat, and the Gulf, I think there was a Gulf off, Corpus Christi, and we were in the Gulf. We were building a bird sanctuary, and the dredging machines were out there. So the guy that was doing the surveying asked me and another fellow to go out in the boat and then get out of the boat because it was pretty shallow, but it was close to the dredging operation. And he would tell me move his hand for me to keep moving over. But the Most High had told me, Yum Soup. I didn't know him then, but he knew me. He said, you get you a stick. And I know you're holding that survey pole, but you get your stick in your left hand. And even though he telling you move over, you prod with that stick before you take a step. So he would keep telling me to move left. I would keep prodding with that stick, and he would do his survey. And he kept motion. I kept stepping to the left. He kept making his measurements. And the last time I prodded with this 6-7 foot pole, it went all the way to the bottom. I said, oh, hell no. I didn't care nothing about him prod. It's over. Your surveying is over, Mr. White Man. I got back in. Never got out that boat again. So thanks to the Most High and praise and bless his holy name. And that's the truth. Because if Most High wasn't cognizant of me and I had some trust, not in human beings per se, but a trust in something much more powerful than human beings, I would have kept making steps based upon what human beings said and not based upon what the Most High had ordered me to do or commanded me to do. And I still follow the same. I don't listen to what human beings say. I mean, I listen in the sense of what they're saying, what Yah says. But when they talking about their personal opinions and whatnot, I don't even pay that no mind. Okay? Yeah, I can understand, well, Katru.
As far as I'm concerned, you got to listen to people who are experienced. Because me being on a constructive site with no experience, trust me, there's a lot of fear that goes on. And I learned how to respect construction workers, which I didn't have before I got into construction. Because most people don't respect construction workers.
Right.
And there are workers, like iron workers, that have more dangerous work than carpenters. Iron workers. I had to admire them. You climb up them iron pillars and walking on them beams like it ain't nothing. And I got that fear in me. Oh, no. No. Iron workers are fearless.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Katria. You have to learn from people, but you shouldn't put your total reliance and trust in people. You have to learn from people. I agree with you on that. But in the final analysis, the essence of your trust should be in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Which you exercise. You listen. You slow down. You listen. But your ultimate trust was in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, no matter.
Yes, sir. And construction is dangerous. As a matter of fact, more construction workers die in New York City than police officers and firefighters. But they don't tell you that.
Exactly.
And I've seen people get hurt. I've seen people get killed. And I prayed to Yah, it won't be me. Praise Yah. 34 years, it wasn't me.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Katria. I bless his holy name. Well, Katria, Sister Abiyah, Sister Yehudi. We had quite a number of people on last night, quite a number. I mean, live call-ins. And thank the Most High for that. And we pray that there's a lot of callers trying to find out who the Most High is and trying to find the historical value of the relationship that we all have with him, the historical value of our people also. Because if you don't know who you are, what you are, and what you should be doing, you're going to be totally confused about everything, and the evidence don't lie. Some of us are totally confused about everything. And that's why we're here. So if that is the case, Katria, Sister Yehudi, and Sister Abiyah, let's get busy. Chapter 14 of Ezekiel, idolatry will be punished. That's a fact. Praise Yah. Most High directed order our steps, not lean to our own understanding. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Now, some of the elders of Israel came to Ezekiel speaking and sat before me. And the word of Yah came to me, saying, Ezekiel, son of man, these men, they ain't coming for the right reason, so to speak. These men have set up their idols in their hearts, the essence of this. No matter what they are displaying or not displaying on the outside, but on deep down inside, that's what's in them. And before them, that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. They've become the essence of that. They're hiding before you. But deep down inside, they're worshiping these idolatries, these idols. Should I let myself be inquired at all by them? Ezekiel said, since you told me how to heal, should I let myself be inquired at all by them, since that's the nature of them. That's their innate nature. That's what they want to do, which caused them to fall into iniquity. Yah says, therefore speak to them. And said of them, thus said Elohim Yah, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, that's just not just on the ice outside, but which caused you to sin on the outside. You set it up in the innate nature of you, the essence of you, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity. But yet, then comes to the prophet, I, the Elohim, will answer him, who comes according to the multitude of his idols. I'm going to ask him according to who he is. Not on the outside, but in the inside, that I may see the house of Israel by the heart, because they are all estranged from me, like you are estranged from your wife or husband, estranged from me by their idols. On the outside, they're looking good, but in the inside, it's a whole different story. And as a result, I'm going to deal with McCauley, the Most High says. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus said Elohim Yah, repent, turn away from your idols, not only on the outside, but in the inside. Turn your faces away from all your abominations. Because if you're holding on this in the inside, it's going to manifest itself on the outside and cause you to fall into iniquity. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers, different nations who dwell in Israel, who separate himself from me and set up his idols in his heart and put before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, cause and effect. Then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning. Stop faking the funk, the Most High says. You know this is the very essence of you. Yet you're coming to the prophet to inquire of me. And you know it ain't real. I, the Elohim, will answer him myself, these people. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people or her. And then you should know that I am the Elohim. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything. That if you take it upon yourself to speak anything outside of me telling you what to speak, and you're doing this by your own self-righteousness, leading to your own understanding. I, the Elohim, have induced that prophet. I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear their iniquity, and the punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me. I'm doing this for a reason, that you don't stray from me. Don't be trying to play no games with me, nor be profane anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their Elohim. I may be there, yeah. I said, Elohim, yeah. Contreras, do you have any comments, Sister Yehudi, or commentary on that? What was just read? Sister Avia?
No, I'm good.
I got a comment. We know that there's two prophets on the scene at the same time, both Jeremiah and Ezekiel, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with the prophet Jeremiah, he was in the land. He was in Jerusalem. And you remember what the people asked him? They said, go ask Yah what we should do. Right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
And he went like a couple of weeks and came back with the answer. And he told them what Yah told him to do. And what did they do? They said, nah, we're not doing that. with the Most High gave them to do, they said, we're not doing that. He told him not to go to Egypt, stay right where you are. And when Jeremiah told him to stay where you are, that's what Yah said. They said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to Egypt. Mm-hmm. So they try to pull the same thing with Ezekiel, right? In their hearts, which Yah could see, and which Yah exposed to the prophet Ezekiel, these elders, so you're an elder, be careful now. These elders coming to the prophet, knowing that he carries the word of Yah, and pretending like they want to know what Yah got to say. So he tells them what Yah got to say. He says, Yah, I know your heart. You're carrying them idols in your heart. And here you are coming to me. He says, I'm not going to answer you. Yah's going to answer you. And our people who have idols in their heart, you got people calling on the show, right? They ask questions. Why are you coming to us when we're trying to expose the word of Yah, when you got idols in your heart? So they get on the phone and ask silly questions, just like these elders. These elders know better. That's why they're in captivity in the first place, right? They're in captivity because of idols they worship. Now, the idols in their heart, they come into the prophet Ezekiel to see what Yah got to say. And Yah's reading them. Y'all come into the prophet who's pure in heart with the idols in your heart. And he's telling Ezekiel, don't worry about it. I'm going to answer them.
Amen.
You know, also what struck me was verse 13, 14, and 15, which is important verses even further. All of them is important. But what stands out, when he talks about the land and what it is, oh, they know you. And how he had cut off bread, and it was a scarcity of food, a man envied. But yet, and you also mentioned that Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. They could only deliver themselves by their righteousness.
Said, jumping ahead.
Huh?
Jumping ahead.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he was through. I'm sorry. You know what? Young Sue, you lose me. I guess the type of, you know, and I'm looking like, where'd he go? I am so sorry. I thought you was through.
No, I said.
You got to keep up. You got to keep up. Comment.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Left off. I'm sorry.
I'm going to start back up on verse 12.
Before you do that, Yasu, read verse 5 again.
Okay.
Five.
Okay. Hold on, Katya. I'm looking for.
The glasses are.
Okay. Yah says that I may seize the house of Israel by their hearts.
What?
Because by their hearts.
He gonna do what?
Seize them by their hearts.
That's painful, ain't it? These dudes got idols in their heart. And Yah said, I'm gonna seize you by your heart. Wow.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. Because they are all estranged from me in reference of their idols, their idolatry.
How painful is that gonna be? Because people running around here talking about Jesus is their salvation, and that's in their heart. What's going to happen when Yah sees them by their heart?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be heart attacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're still going to deny it. Some of them put it in.
Not when Yah sees you by your heart. That's a strong statement. That's a strong statement. I'm going to seize you by your heart.
When we was reading the scriptures, he been saying that,
mm-hmm.
you know, all to be judged, and he know all the work that we do. He sees your heart, so. And all the house. Oh, yeah.
Not he doesn't see your heart. He's talking about seizing it,
mm-hmm.
taking it by force.
Yeah, see, I hear you.
Oh, yeah, Yah say he can seize people who have idols in their heart. He's going to seize them. He's going to snatch their heart.
Yeah,
that's
so
strong. That's
But Brother Castle, that's like saying your lying heart. You know, that's what I get for. So Yah going to snatch that lying heart.
Mm-hmm.
So worshiping and all that idolatry. So that needs be. In order to lay hold, I said, in order to lay hold of the house of Israel by their heart. For they have become estranged from me by their idols of them. So it answers the question, I mean, most times, right? That's why I don't get upset. This is what he did.
I'm going to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
The most painful way you can hurt somebody is through their heart.
That's right.
And Yah said he's going to seize the outer worshipers by their heart. How much pain does that entail?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't want to be feeling that.
All right. Thank y'all for the comments. And I want y'all to understand these next verses are not simply about Israel. It's about any land. It says, the word of Yah came to me, Ezekiel saying, son of man, when a land sins against me, who is it mean? Yah. By persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, cut off man and beast from it. And even three men, Noah, Daniel, Job were in it. They were delivered only themselves by their righteousness, says the Yah Elohim, Elohim Yah. He said, they won't be able to pray for nobody else. They're not going to appeal to me by even these three great men who were represented at different times. Even if they themselves prayed for this land or any other land, they're going to only be able to, by their own actions, their righteousness, says Elohim Yah. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it, and make it so desolate that no man shall pass through because of the beast, even though these we mentioned were in it, as I live, says Elohim Yah, they would deliver neither their sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword on that land, it said, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it. Even though these three men again were in it, as I live, says Elohim Yah, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only they themselves would be delivered. Or if I sent a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says Elohim Yah, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, by their own actions. But thus said Elohim Yah, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, wild beast and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. Yet, behold, there should be left in it a remnant, just like these three men, who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you. This remnant will bring out their sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you, and you will see their ways, their actions, and their doings, your ways and your doings, your actions. Then you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I brought upon Jerusalem, all that I brought upon it, and they will comfort you, these people. And when you see their ways, their doings, their actions, you should know that I have done nothing with that cause, that I have done it in, says Yah Elohim. Praise Yah. Comparisons. Sometimes Yah says things in reference to some things he's not going to let you get away or let you be compulsory in helping others. That he mentioned Job, Daniel, Noah, but a remnant in different cases for us, we are concerned. I'm going to let these people actions, and they're going to be, their compulsory actions for themselves is going to impress their sons and daughters, a remnant, a small number. You would see this. And I always said, we always say as men, according to King Solomon, a time and place for everything. And by reference, Jah is saying, as far as I'm concerned, for some situations, I'm not going to let none but the men themselves or the women themselves be compulsory in their actions to only help themselves. In a different situation, as far as Jerusalem is concerned, there's going to be a remnant. There's not only going to be them by their actions and doings, but they will be able to inspire others by my word. Some folks just ain't going to hear in different situations. And some people going to hear in different situations and times by your doings and our actions. And by Noah, Daniel, Job, it's time and place for everything. And Yah has that right. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katriel, Sister Hootie, Sister Abby, Yah help the mic.
Okay. Now I'll get back. Sorry. But no when problem. I got from 13, 14, 15, and 16 and on down, I'm just going to say this. Even today, somewhere in Russia, remember they had years ago a nuclear spill or something with radiation, high radiation.
Yeah.
And no one's able to go in that particular part of the land. Well, they've been doing it for years, but animals live there, but humans can't. And then reading this scripture, first it said hardships for animals and humans. I guess the time go on, then it just be the beast. Which is true, even the Sahara Desert, you've got animals living there. So that's interesting that animals are able to live in this area in Russia, but humans can't occupy it. All the buildings are still vacant after years because the radiation is still too high. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the land you talk about, when Russia was in control of Ukraine,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Chernobyl.
There you go.
But this chapter, in particular, that the Most High is giving Ezekiel to speak, it shows that you can't hide your evil deeds. The Most High got instant replay. Right? Most of us said, you're going to come to you. And I'm going to show you the evil deeds. He says, what? He says, behold, they will come out to you. And guess what? You will see their way and their doings. Like y'all got instant replay before there was instant replay. Then you will be comforted concerning the evil that I brought on Jerusalem. So Ezekiel is not too comfortable. Why are you destroying Jerusalem? Why are you destroying your people, Yah? Yah said, I'm going to show you what your people are doing, which is why I'm justified in doing what I'm doing to them. Then you will be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought on Jerusalem, because you're going to see what the people are really doing, even concerning all that I brought on it. And the fact that Yah makes reference to Noah, Daniel, and Job, he said, if they were in it, as I live, says Yah, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only their own souls by their righteousness. And we know that Noah wasn't saved by Yah by himself, was he? It was Noah's wife. It was Noah's sons and Noah's son's wife. He's saying Israel is so evil, even if Noah was in the midst of y'all, he couldn't even save his own family. That's ridiculous. And then he mentions Daniel and Job. Yeah. Daniel and Job were men of God, and our people don't listen to the men of God. So they couldn't deliver Israel, because Israel was hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious, blind, deaf, and dumb. And that's what Yah is emphasizing, that if these great men, Noah, a righteous man, Daniel, a righteous man, Job, who I tested and proved to be a righteous man, even if these men were amongst you, Israel, they couldn't save you. Because if Ezekiel can't save you and Jeremiah can't save you, both men who are anointed priests, Mashiach, then what would Noah, Daniel, and Job do for you?
Amen.
So our people have a propensity to wait for a Messiah, like the Messiah is going to save them. And yes, the Most High set Messiah is in the midst of our people. But we remain hard-headed, stiff-necked, and refuse to obey Yah's word. That's how angry Yah is. He's like, if Daniel, Job, and Noah was in the midst of Yah, they couldn't save Yah. They could only save themselves. Because I know how hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious the children of Israel are. And it's unfortunate that we're that way. So our ancient fathers paid the price. And this is why we have to pray for them as well as for ourselves.
Right. We're doing the same thing today. Right? The same thing. Not in our land.
Our ancient fathers worshiped the idols of their enemy and provoked Yah to anger.
Yeah.
And he's expressing his anger. He's so angry. He's saying, Noah, Daniel, and Job can't even save y'all.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't. You can only save yourself if you're walking in righteousness in the Most High, because he knows your heart.
And this says a lot, because these righteous men should have been able to save a lot of people. Daniel, Job, and Noah, if people listen to them, right?
Yeah, but true to form. Yeah, I said he hardened the heart for the nation of Israel at different times of their disobedience. I mean, it's a lot. Not only in this chapter, but throughout the whole book, it's just a puppet of things. Mm.
So even if Yah did send Jesus back and he was anointed, do you think our people would listen to him?
Mm-mm. Nope.
The evidence shows we wouldn't.
Now they believe in the stars and the moon and, galaxies. That's their God.
And yesterday we read about the divination, soothsaying, and the idolatry. And our people are still involved in today, and we don't know the word of Yah. But this chapter lets us know that even the elders,
right,
are on blast. It starts with the elders. The elders came to Ezekiel the prophet, and Ezekiel the prophet is reading them even before they come. Most I said, these men that's come to you, these elders, they got idols in their hearts. Wow.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel can see it.
Mm-hmm. So he asked the question, should I let them inquire of me at all? Like, really? When he know in their hearts is crippling them, because like what you just said.
And that's what I'm saying. They played the same game with Jeremiah the prophet. Go ask Yah what we should do. And Yirmiyahu, who went away for 2 weeks, he came back and told them what Yah told them to do. And they said, nah, we're not doing that.
You know, you gave me an idea. I thought, no, let me rephrase that. I don't think it was noble. I thought it was interesting. These two ministers came out talking about tithing. And I said, what really would impress me if they gave up all their wealth. You know what I'm saying? And put me
in a
But that's like holding your breath. It ain't going to happen.
Those are the same people that Yah describes as people who love lies.
Mm-hmm.
Our people love lies.
And what was it? Go ahead.
False visions and false dreams.
You know, the main thing that stays on me is, like you said, about the heart. And see these preachers, the pastors, whatever y'all want to call them in these churches today, even if they know the truth, if they know the truth about Yah and what is expected of them, they so greedy that they hold, you know, speak falsely from their heart. What comes out of their mouth is from their heart falsely. They just lie. So I, like you said, y'all said, why should he, you know? I understand that. Well, they going to continue.
That's all we have to stay strong. We have to stay and encourage one another. Get back out there in this world. People are psychotic. And it's the same there.
They added all. They added that they don't want to believe the truth. You tell them speak the truth, and they the only truth they know is what they believe or what they want to believe.
Yeah.
And beliefs and true facts are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So most people look at the Bible as a religious book. But the more we read, the more we understand, it's more about history and Yah's association with the nation of Israel more than religion.
Yes, exactly. I'll give it say they believe is nothing but religion. And Yah didn't give us no religion. No.
As a matter of fact, he shows in this chapter where he's angry with the doctrines of men. Because if you're worshiping an idol, it's the doctrine of a man. So our people play with fire. We carry these idols in our heart, and people will come to us just like these elders asking what would Yah say about this when they have the idols in their heart. They're not giving up Jesus. They're not giving up Allah. They're not giving up Buddha. They just want to know your perspective and what your God thinks. That's our people.
He said it, we're like stupid children.
You see the power of Yah? How he causes all these things to happen to mankind. Breaking a staff of bread, if I cause animals to pass through the land, if I bring the sword in the land, if I send pestilence into the land, it's Yah who does these things. And the Europeans used to say, oh, this was an act of God. They don't say that anymore. They say global warming and all that kind of stuff, but I know when we was younger growing up, they were saying these are acts of God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the right thing happened, Cartrell, that benefits them, especially insurance companies. They said it's the act of God. They don't want to pay it. Believe it. But you're right, though, Cartrell, in regards to the Most High. It used to be an act of God. Now they're minimizing that. But you got to consider the source. Consider where you got all this idolatry mentality. This recent fusion of it by way of the Romans. The Romans put a god on every street corner, like we got a church on every street corner, and different gods on every street corner. Then you had the invasion of Jerusalem in 70 AD, same people mindset, and they infused a social engineering conditioning. And now they're having an infusion of all these about idols and whatnot. Because then you had, as I said, the Romans. Then they had the Nicene Council. And then from the Nicene Council.
So we're talking about Titus of Rome and the Roman Catholic Church.
Exactly.
Which is the mother of all churches.
Right.
And it's interesting because regardless of been fighting against one another. They all came as time went on, and within power and et cetera and so forth. Like you said, Catholicism, that's run out. And I don't care. People want to say, I'm Seventh-day Adventist, I'm Jehovah's, but it's still under the Christian umbrella. I don't care if you're Episcopal, African-American, you go on and on. I don't care the name of the church. You're still under the umbrella of the Roman Catholic Church.
And what's the weapon that they use against our people?
I say Jesus.
The word of God, the word of Yah itself. They turn the Bible into a religious book. And as we peruse and as we read from chapter to chapter, from Genesis to Malachi, we see that it is not a religious book, but it tends to be more historical than religious.
Right. Because I gave you the definition of religion, didn't I? Then I'll give you the definition. I'll give it again. Tie up, tie down, and control. So you're right, Sakil. Go ahead. Sorry, young people.
Yeah, they weaponized religion. Because if you don't know who you are and what you are, historically speaking, they can weaponize, you can have a little book in your room where you're writing up everything about yourself and your life and whatnot. And what do you call them? What do you call them diaries? They can take your very diary and weaponize your diary and utilize it against you, especially if you don't know who you are, what you are, or what you should be doing. So by reference, our enemies have weaponized our word. Most High Word, and weaponize it against us because we don't know what it is, or we don't study anything. We just go by what they tell us, without any investigation and our studies in the matter. And so we go by what they tell us. And so you can weaponize anything against anyone. And they're good at it, and they're darn good at it. And they've been doing it for quite a long while. They know how to weaponize your own story against you. And the evidence doesn't lie. We don't study anything. We don't love the Most High with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We don't love our brothers and sisters as we should be. And we got all the sense in the world, don't know anything. But yet our enemies can weaponize our truth and write our narratives. And that's why we come to be in these so-called religions, separatist organizations. What is that thing with divide and conquer? It's true.
Yes, indeed.
I remember as a child, I couldn't understand what was so special about us. The whole time I was working with me then. But it made me think something what Cartier said a while back. Music. Music? Oh, man. Wait a minute. Motorcycle. We're the only group of people, only nation, let me correct, have influenced the world with our music. And I used to say, wait a minute, something ain't right in this picture here. Once, you know, then as I learned, the Most High brought all that about. He allowed it. He scattered us, and he continued to allow us to worship the idols, go after man. But he said, we will wake up. A lot of us will wake up. Sometimes we wake up, sometimes we do so many crazy things, but we wake up to get to know who our Creator is. The power, our power, is the Creator. Hallelujah.
Well, Sister, if you want lies, the Most High will give you, let you believe in lies. But if you want the truth, the Most High is going to reveal himself to you. If you want to be blind and deaf, that's not by force, that's by choice. You have a choice in the matter. You want to remain blind and deaf, you'll remain there. But if you want the truth, the Most High will reveal his truth to you.
But you know,
and
like
the thing is, John, too.
Go ahead.
If we was back in the days when our ancestors came over here butt naked on slave ships, and we had a Blog Talk radio show like this, guess what? They would hang you. They would hang me, they would hang Sister Yehudi, and they would hang Sister Abia. But Yah's mercy, his loving kindness, his tender mercies have allowed us to have this block talk, real talk for real people show, so we can expose the truth in the lands of our captivity. Praise Yah. Because we definitely would have been hanging from a tree. Right? We would be hanging from a tree because we weren't allowed to read, much less read the Bible. And then when you're allowed to read the Bible, they take you right to the New Testament. Oh, don't read the Old Testament. So we teach in the Old Testament chapter by chapter. We would have been hung, trust me, burnt, tarred and feathered, torn between two horses back in the days. Praise Yah for his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Yeah, they could juggle with us, you know, every now and then with the technology, shut you down, try to shut you down off the air. They definitely ain't hanging us from trees for teaching our people the truth.
But you know what, Katria? That is true what you're saying. But documents I went through years ago, there were a lot of slaves, our people, that did, and they read the scriptures and they read the Tanakh and the Torah. But because it was, you know, laws that were passed to suppress the majority of it. So, yeah, I can agree with that, too. But just think, he's been waking us up all along, throughout the generations. He's eternal. He's forever. Seems like soon as we, our ancestors stepped off the boat, we're already here, you know. But it was so controlled. And then what we do? Our ancestors converted. Because we had no power. But the Most High is allowing his word right now, today, to go forth and go forth strong. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Sister Abby, Sister Hootie, and Katri, 4,701 listeners may not seem much, but considering the social engineering and conditioning, and considering the hearts that want false idols, and considering the universal captivity, that's a great number to listen to a Blog Talk radio station to want to get to the truth of the matter. And it's not only just this station that is involved in putting the truth out, going to the site, Yah would gather about us, but to others. Blog Talk radio shows that are teaching the word of Yah in its entirety, in its completeness, raw and uncut. Small wonder, but those are beautiful numbers. Because we try to, because of the social engineering and conditioning, because we watch TV, the boot tube, the duck tube all the time, and we watch how that numbers come in. A million this, 10 million that, 5 million that, 3 million that. And we think 4,701 is significant. But that 4,701 has an impact upon others and others. We just see the numerical value of the people just coming on the show. But we don't see the numerical value of the relationship that they have with the Most High, and they're spreading the Most High message by virtue of this Blog Talk radio show. So, and that's why so says social engineering and conditioning is an invasive process. And they have done a complete job in it when it comes to us, religion, making us feel less than, making us follow their lead and everything. Our oppressors are good at it. They had to be darn good at it to be what they are and what they've done in 402 years. And you can't take that away from them. Because looking at the numbers and the evidence don't lie, they've done a complete job at social engineering conditions, and using whatever we come up for as Yah is concerned to weaponize it against us. When we tell the truth about Yah, either we're the bad guys or we're the terrorists or we're crazy, we're anti-Christ, we're everything against their system, which would undermine their system. So if you don't study the Most High Word, you're really not going to know what's going on, and you're going to be totally confused about everything. You won't see the social engineering.
You won't see the character assassination. You won't see the weaponized of our troops and using against us and tell them we must love everything. And you don't judge anything. You judge everything, anything, every day of your life, you make judgment calls. And especially if you're in fact, when I'm telling y'all they got gay people coming in the bathroom with no notification in your doors and pushing that agenda down your throat, and you don't supposed to have an opinion. And by golly, some of us don't have an opinion, one way or the other, because we try to go along to get along, and we accepted social engineering tradition and weaponized even the truth about homosexuality and lesbianism. Well, we have to accept this type of behavior coming to your bathroom. I'm standing at the stall, a woman come next to me, zip her pants down, and sat next to me, peeing on another urinal, and I'm supposed to think that's cool? The most I said, that's disgusting. A fellow come into a woman's bathroom and got the apparatus as a sister has, even if medically speaking, and just got a dress on and a wig on and some makeup, social engineering and conditioning, and he's in the bathroom squatting like a woman, and she's supposed to be good with that. That don't folks discuss you. See, we have been so socially engineered and conditioned and continue and weaponized the truth against us that we go along and get along, and the hell with what y'all said, whatever, which way the white man said. That's the idolatry in your heart. When you talk about universal right race, that's idolatry in your heart. And we see that, we see it in class terms. We see it in so many of our brothers and sisters that are bought into which way the white man. That's idolatry. But we suck it down hook, line, and sinker. Not only that, much more.
Yes, Sue. And it goes deeper than that. Because you got educated fools out here, people that have been to Harvard, Ivy League institutions, and they describe our people as black and African American. Wait a minute. You have a higher education and you're still calling your people black. Not only are you calling your people black, but you accept the fact that our people identify themselves after religions. I'm Baptist. I'm Aiming Zion. I'm Jehovah Witness. You got educated fools out here identifying themselves after religion and after colors and after continents. So social engineering, you say our enemies are effective? Wow, they're really effective. We got educated fools, most educated amongst our people, calling themselves black, Negro, colored, Baptist, Christian, whatever you want to call themselves. And if our educated people are still blind, deaf, and dumb, you can't blame the common man, can you?
And like I said, they're good at their job, Patrick. They're good, and they're done.
But the problem with them is, Yamsu, the problem, this is the problem with them. Every nation, every empire, every kingdom that put their hands on y'all's property, what happened to them?
They're going to be dealt with. They were dealt with.
What happened to the Babylonians? They ain't around no more, are they?
Right.
What happened to the Assyrians? They ain't around no more, are they? How about the Medes and the Persians? They ain't around no more, are they? And why ain't they around no more? Why? What happened to them? Where people don't even know about them. You got to go into history and dig deep. Who are the Babylonians? Who are the Assyrians? Who are the Medes and the Persians? Yeah, y'all talk about the Greeks and the Romans because this is still their empire. But every empire, every kingdom, every nation that put their hands on Yah's property, the nation of Israel, they paid the ultimate price, didn't they?
True, Peter.
Okay, so these people know they got to pay the ultimate price. And they're doing everything within their power to prevent it. And it's even challenging the Most High himself.
Exactly. Praise God, right there. Praise God.
Yeah, man. You got to know what's up. You gotta know. Yes, sir.
And that's why it's imperative. Right there, that's why it's imperative. That our people know their God and their history. The rock and him. Just that double. If you don't know these things, you will continue to be confused about everything.
And that's why I see people are confused about everything and anything. We have no connection with our history, our roots, our culture, our identity, ethnicity, and what the whole story is really all about. And ain't nobody trying to tell us except us. We try to tell our people. We try to blast the word, explain the word, show our history. Ain't nobody else out there doing that.
No.
And 4,000 people? 4,000 people? Wow. And 4,000 people ain't all Israel.
Right. No.
Well,
that number should be way higher.
It should be, because just like Yom Tu said, there's 4,000 people, let each one of them say something to another one that's not on this show. So it's called keep on spreading. They get y'all's words, some waking up.
And how many of the 4,000 are like the elders that we read? They still got idols in their heart, but they still want to hear what y'all got to say.
All right.
Yeah, they want to hear Katriel, but they don't want to do it. And that's the difference. They want to hear what he has to say. In the case of those elders, and in regards to Jeremiah, in regards to Ezekiel, they want to hear what he has to say. They didn't want to do what he had said. That's quite a difference. They're doing this.
Are we talking about Christ, Mashiach, Messiah? Because that's what Ezekiel and Jeremiah were. They were anointed.
Right.
But the people ain't listen to them. Most I said, yeah, I spend my anointed right in your midst. But do you listen to them? Do you listen to the anointed of Yah, the Messiah, the Christ, the Mashiach? No, you don't even listen to them.
And Job was a righteous man. Most I said.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel, we knew what his actions were in captivity. And I want to make a point here, too, before Katriel moves on to the next section of the study. We knew Daniel didn't do a lot of things that a lot of brothers and sisters are doing in this captivity, as far as their relationship with Yah is concerned. He wasn't burning no sacrifices. He made no mention of that. He wasn't saying a lot of things, doing a lot of things. He was just dealing with his captivity and dealing with the Most High. It's the Most High prescribed for him to deal with him under his captivity. Nothing more, nothing extra. And some of us don't get to see, we sort of wake up. We wake up dead, Katriel. We go to sleep dead and wake up dead. Not learning anything. And that's a sad statement of the fact. Go to sleep dead, wake up dead. And sit and start doing things that you're not prescribed or commanded to do. And you know what the prescription is for us? Cry out to the Most High, ask for forgiveness for our ancient fathers and mothers. For breaking the contract, the code. Pray for ourselves for breaking the code and the contract. Gather yourselves together. That doesn't necessarily mean you got to be standing next to me, but you should have the essence of that in the heart of you, gathering yourself together with your brothers and sisters. And do what you can, how you can, for the widows, the orphans, the needy, all over this universe, and universally speaking. When the opportunity presents itself, we're doing just the opposite. And the results are just the opposite. Trying to do too much instead of doing what you're commanded by the Most High to do. We want to hear what the Most High says, Katriel, in the case of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. But some of us still don't want to do what the Most High says. And that's unfortunate.
And those are two anointed, two Christ, two Mashiachs, two Messiahs that the people didn't listen to. So I got a pop quiz for you, Yamsu, Sister Yehudi, Sister Abiyah. What was Daniel's crime in Babylon?
Against Yah, or against the nation of Babylon?
He never committed a crime against Yah. So it is against Babylon. What was his crime?
Okay.
Against Babylon. Yeah.
From what I understood, he was praying.
Right.
And he
when
the
ghost saw him,
he didn't bow down before their idols.
That's right. Mm-hmm. His crime was that he was praying three times a day. Three times a day he's praying.
Right.
That's not a crime in America, is it?
No.
So it shows us the Most High shows his loving kindness towards us, because Daniel didn't have the privilege that we got right now, did he?
No.
He couldn't pray three times a day. And guess what? We don't even pray three times a day like Daniel, even though we have the same opportunity as him. They're not going to throw us in the lion's den because we pray three times a day, but we don't pray to Yah three times a day, do we?
Right.
I mean, the Muslims pray to Allah. You see them throw up that rug. They get down, they shut business down, and they go into their prayer. Ishmael, right?
Right.
Daniel was doing the same thing in Babylon, and they threw him in the lion's den. How about us? How about us? We have the opportunity. Ain't nobody throwing us in no lion's den.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that is acceptable for the Most High under us in any captivity. We want to do extra.
We have idols in our heart, like the elders of ancient times. And elders out there, or y'all, that's elders, 50 and up, better not have no idols in your heart, because Yah reads it. And guess what? He's going to show your iniquity, like he showed to the prophet Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel's seen these men coming. Y'all coming to me for the word of Yah, but I see the idols in your heart. And Yah said, I'm going to snatch your heart. Don't let Yah snatch your heart, man. Do not let Yah snatch your heart.
You
my God.
You better believe it. Ain't nothing to play with, something serious. And that, we think everything's a joke, Contrail. I mean, you can see how we're so socially engineered. We are like grown children. Everything fun. Everything a joke. Ain't nothing serious. We ain't serious about nothing. We should be some of the most serious people in our studies. And our relationship with the Most High, and for one another, it should be manifest, obvious to oppressors. These people are serious. They deadly serious. They don't kill one another. They don't prostitute their women. They don't make their children. They pray three times a day. But we an astonishment. When you're not doing what the Most High says, the Most High says, you are an astonishment, a proverb, a hissing. That's all we are in these so-called games, in this so-called rap music, in this so-called all the negativity and the toxicity you can imagine. Instead of being like Daniel, being like Job, being like Noah, we got idolatry in our heart. And one of them, which way the white folks go? Because whatever they said, it's got to be the gospel truth.
So, Yahshu, which one of our leaders are like King David?
King David, out of the three that you mentioned, the three brothers I just mentioned?
I'll talk about now, current events. People that's on the scene right now, which one of them is like King David?
Bruh, come on, man. Come on, bro. I don't see one of them. Okay? Not me.
He's the standard, isn't he? For leadership.
Right.
You want to be a leader of Israel? You got to be thinking like King David.
Right. And you got to tell the truth even to your own hurt. And you got to do what's right even to your own hurt. And you got to be humble to the Most High even to your own hurt. And you got to love your people like you ain't never loved nobody before. Because King David said, they said, I love the Most High. And you got to love the Most High to his hurt. I love the Most High with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I love my brother and sister just like I love myself. But if you hate what you look like in the mirror, it is virtually impossible to love what you see walking down the street every day and knowing how to treat it right.
So should our leaders be like King David?
Certainly.
Yeah.
He was a standard bearer.
And you, You telling me there's not one leader out there that's like him?
I'm gonna tell you what them Christians say in a song. No 9-1, no 9-1.
Yeah, if our leaders were like King David, we will be much better off.
Exactly. Well, Cottrell, that was beautiful. Sister Hootie, that was beautiful. That was wonderful. Sister Abia, that was fantastic. The study we had from Ezekiel. And that, I suspect, is a time for a song, maybe from King David. Koriah Brothers, ASAP, so on and so forth. We're all in this country.
No doubt. You see where I got my strength from, my power, my might, my refuge, my salvation. It's like King David. I'm going to follow the king. All right?
Great
I should
job.
Be doing the same thing. Because the relationship that King David had with the Most High was personal. King David didn't need no priest, he didn't need no prophet, he didn't need no elders. His communication, his relationship with Yah was personal from the time he was a teenager to the time he was a king.
Praise Yah.
Yah will establish a personal relationship with you, just like with King David. So we're in Psalm 64, and you're going to see how personal King David's relationship was with Yah, all right?
Praise Yah.
Psalm 64, all honor, praise, glory to the Holy One Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created our king, even before he placed him in his mother's womb, King David. Here's his song. It ain't 50 Cent. It ain't Snoop Dogg. It's King David. Hear my voice.
I like that, bro. That was smooth.
Okay. What King David said? Yah, hear my voice. You be telling Yah, hear your voice? Yah, hear me. It's me, Katria. Yah, it's me. Hear my voice. In my complaint, Yah wants to hear your personal complaint. Because what does he say? I will deliver you out of how many of your troubles?
All of your troubles.
All. So if Yah don't know your voice, guess what? You're in trouble. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy, which is why King David walked the earth holy bold. He didn't fear no enemy, whether they were giants, Philistines, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Egyptians, Ethiopians. King David did not fear the enemy. Raise your hand if you fear the enemy. They got AK-47 and AR-15s and nuclear bombs.
Huh? They do. They do. Some of us. Because we're socially engineered a good vision. Which way did the white folk go, unfortunately?
So this is the prayer you just said. Yah, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Because we got enemies. People trying to kill us right now.
Yeah.
Not trying, but killing us every day. Your sons, your daughters, throwing them in prison, hitting them with 60 bullets, unarmed. Yeah, preserve my life from fear of my enemy. That's why I walk the earth. Brownsville, South Bronx, Harlem, Mississippi, doesn't matter where I'm at, because Yah's with me. I don't fear the enemy. I could go to Russia right now. I don't fear the enemy, all right? Because Yah's with me. You understand?
Yes.
Hide me, because you could be right in the midst of the enemy, and Yah will hide you from the conspiracy of the wicked. From the noisy crowd of the ones doing evil. And we see people doing evil all around us, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to be hid from that, don't you? I know I do. I don't want to be involved in all the wickedness that's all around me. Hide me. Don't even let them see me, y'all, please. Who sharpen their tongue like a sword? Because if you're out there with them, they're going to focus on you with their tongue. Right? Yep. You're hanging out with the wrong people? Hey, they're going to focus on you, bro.
They're going to put the
word
on you.
Yeah, deadly words. whether it be lies, whether it be gossip or whatever, if you're out there with the wicked, trust me, it's going to catch up with you. To shoot innocent men from ambushes, and do we see that every day? Innocent men getting shot down. Innocent men getting shot down. They shoot at him suddenly and fearlessly, 60 bullets in a brother unarmed. Yeah, because they know there ain't going to be no repercussions. The wicked, right?
Hallelujah.
And they encourage themselves, the blue wall, and evil plans. Yeah, we're going to kill this nigga, and we're going to stick by one another and justify what we did.
Here's
they
the
talk
story.
About Lane, huh?
Here's the story. We're going to tell the story just like it is. The flashing
oh, yeah.
of the light was he was shooting, but we ain't tested the gun to see what it was fired. But that now you got headlights all along the highway that flash by people's windows and mirror. That he was shooting at it, but I ain't seen no window now. I ain't gonna shoot with the window up if there's a flash, okay? And the window up, but you ain't tested the gun to see if it was a fire. But I'm supposed to believe your truth.
Nor did he fire the gun after he got out the car and started running.
Mm-hmm.
They found the gun in the car. But they wouldn't take on that young man in Uvalde, whatever state that was in, with an AR-15 and shot all those children down. Yeah, you shoot an unarmed brother fleeing from his car with not a weapon, but you won't go into a school to stop a man from killing Yeladeen.
An hour and 17 minutes. Y'all using hand sanitizers, talking to them on the phone, playing tiddlywinks and everything here. Them babies in the holler and screaming, and you a police, you a bad police when you come in my house. Mm-hmm. Tell me to shut my mouth. But I ain't seen you running and trying to save them little baby hollering and screaming and can on whatnot. But they real tough guys.
When it comes to unarmed brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's their trophy. It's like hunting deer, a lion. You want to put their head on your wall. You done shot down a brother. Yeah,
yeah,
I feel good. I feel good.
Yeah,
shot me a nigga.
And you're right, Cartra. I remember in the early 80s, I had an altercation with the police at the VA hospital. I didn't start it. I just didn't want to receive medical help. And so I was leaving the hospital. They going to go tell security, get me in, bring me back like I'm a slave. And so I was begging at the house. I said, don't you put your hand on me now. Go on about your business. And then four police officers in Memphis jumped me from behind. They couldn't even bring me down. And one of them, a little redhead, a little Irishman, I guess, he hits me in the stomach with his blackjack or whatever. And then, you know, I just went on down to my knee, took a knee. And he was bragging to the mostly other white police officers. Hey, you see what I did? I hit him like this. I hit. And me being me, you know, I'm your suit. And I'm ticked now. Because I don't want to go to the hospital. You can't make me go to the hospital. But they did. And I'm seeing him just laughing like he did something wonderful. One brother, two or three security guards, four police officers on my back. And you hit me in the stomach with a blackjack, and I ain't did nothing wrong. I'm not armed. And you know, that anger, that's righteous indignation came out. I said, hey, redhead, come here. He came to me, I said, you ain't no brother. I called him a few choice ways. I said, now, you a tough guy, man. Now, I ain't got an arm. It took seven of y'all to bring me down. You a real tough guy. I said, I tell you what, Red, take your little badge off, take your little gun off, take your little, even with me being injured, take your little gun, sit it aside. We're going to see who the best man. I'm going to beat the brakes off you. You should have seen Red turn red in the face. I said, you ain't no but a half-hour coward. I said, you ain't no but a punk, a half-hour coward. Red turned red. He was a redhead. He turned red in the face. And you know what? And when I went to the judge the next morning, I told him, I said, officer, I said, judge, I didn't want hospitalization. I was trying to leave the hospital. You can't make me stay in the hospital. And I said, I ain't doing nothing. One of your officers tell me. He said, you should have did something. You must have did something wrong. And that's how their attitude about us. You must have did something wrong. It's true, brother. I'm talking about experience.
So our enemy, Yah said, they encouraged themselves in evil plans. And they got plans to, like, annihilate us, right? Pharaoh,
exactly.
At least he said it outright, kill all the Hebrew boys when they're born. Throw them in a river. And that's what they did. These people, they killed us without declaring war on us. They encouraged themselves in their evil plans. They talk about laying snares secretly. And we know the snares, the war on drugs. Before they declared war on drugs, we didn't have drugs in our neighborhood, did we?
Good, gotcha. Great point.
Before they declared war on drugs, we didn't have guns in our neighborhood, did we?
Yes, they did.
Man, Clint, I'm sorry I've been on mute because when we're on, everybody's getting off from work, so it's a lot of noise over here. But I was going to say, we know the government. We know people of power have planted all this in the neighborhood. And truth be told, when it backfires on them, you hear it in the news, oh, we got an opiate problem. Oh, we got infinity, whatever. We got a problem. We got a problem.
They treat the problem differently because they incarcerate drug addicts in our neighborhood, drug dealers in our neighborhood. But when you go to European neighborhoods where they use more drugs than us, oh, they got to go to health clinics and rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And they got mental problems. And they don't throw them in jail. They give them help.
See, our power is the creator, right? And I don't care if this has occurred all over the world. No guns. You know, like, you heard people, you can shoot me, you can hang me. But the movement, when I say movement, the Most High is going to stand without a doubt. Go ahead, because, you know,
I agree with you. But what the Most High does in regards to these historical tales of ours and historical relationship between with him is telling us educational valuable stories about how your enemy gonna come at you. You gonna be surprised about everything. And you're not confused about everything because you prepared and you expect it to happen. We're totally confused and not prepared for anything, not prepared for the 60 bullets in the brother, not prepared for the brother in South Carolina shot four times in the back, not prepared for George Floyd, need on for that length of time. I mean, we're totally confused. We think y'all folks will treat us right. No, they ain't. And they don't. They are cruel people. And they hate you. So you need to stop fussing, fighting, and running because that's a sure way of death. The best that you need to be doing, getting right with the Most High and staying right with the Most High and praying at least three times a day. That's your best bet because you ain't got enough armor. You ain't got enough brothers to stick together. You ain't got enough money because they ain't going to do nothing right with the money they got for themselves. They going to celebrate all these idolatry holidays, and they ain't got enough to pay the rent at the end of the month. So this is Yah's educating us so we don't be confused about what's going on so we can get on the right path with the Most High. We can do like Daniel. We can do like Job. We can do like Noah. We can ignore all the nonsense around us and keep doing what the Most High requires. We can do like the Most High tells us and keep focused on track. We can cry out together. We can gather ourselves together. We can pray for our founding fathers and mothers. And we can pray for ourselves. We can stay focused and not be confused about everything. Because every time the kids, we confused that they're supposed to treat us better than that. Yeah, okay. Okay, keep on believing in us. The madness. It's educational, so that's all I was pointing
out. I mean, you know, and what I don't get, I was upset. You know, it's right in front of you. Like I said, you and I have talked many times. There's too much going on for us not to know, right?
Right.
Can everybody agree with that, to know something?
Yeah.
Now, you sitting here watching a man shoot another man in the back of the head, execution style.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this little old, you know, protest, that don't do no good.
You better believe it.
Well, instead of sitting back saying, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? They've been doing this to us for thousands of years. I don't want to say thousands. Since we've been in the country, 400 and counting, as you say.
Yeah.
And we don't have the right type of attitude to love, turn to one another. That's our strength, and they know it.
And turn to the most.
We turn with strength, not protesting. But like, so who said that earlier? Oh, they don't hardly commit no crime, and they do this, and they. But then one day I said, how can we when we're scattered? If you thought about it, and I'm not, this is a discussion, right quick. Everybody else seem like, or do, have their nation. We don't. See? So you think, oh, wait a minute. This is why we ain't together. But dang, you can read in the scriptures and find that we were a nation. You know, we screwed up.
Yeah, but see, we were begging our enemies. We knew better.
Mm-hmm.
We were begging the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We weren't marching and protesting around Babylon and the Middle East and Persia. We weren't marching and protesting in Mizraim, Egypt. We weren't begging our enemies to lack us. Can we just all get along? We do everything right in Egypt. Y'all ain't going to love us. I heard the brother say that about his mother and the top shooting. It made me cringe because he didn't understand. He didn't get it. Okay? And that's our problem. We don't understand. We don't get it.
We've uncovered some gems, some jewels, some nuggets tonight, right, in the book of Ezekiel.
Exactly.
Most I say, if Daniel, Noah, and Joe was there in the times that they were living in at that time, and we know the times they're living is much worse than the times that Yah was describing in the times of Ezekiel. He said they couldn't even save their own family. So that's a message to
us. Hold on mute, please. I hear.
Yeah, somebody turned that television down.
So the Most High dropped some jewels on us. He said Daniel, Job, and Noah couldn't save their families in the time that Ezekiel was living in. And we know that times we're living in are worse than the times that Ezekiel lived in, because we're in the midst of the scattering of the nations. And if Noah, Daniel, and Job couldn't save themselves, we can't save anybody but ourselves.
Okay, let me get y'all. I was on mute because, woof, you're right. But see, for me, but I know you have experiences, y'all, so I look at all four of us going down our lane, but we're all trying to reach to the same place. All of us bring to the table our experiences and our knowledge of our Creator. So therefore, for me, I get upset when I hear it. But in my head is saying that needs be, no matter how horrible it is. Because, like I said before, you still got our children missing. You still got a lot of things going on. Remember I mentioned that article I read where man of color, newscaster said, there's so much going on in the world, we can't even keep up. It's unprecedented. So you know what's going on. This has never happened in the history of this United States. Not just the weather pattern, but the violence has increased to the point where it's unsurmountable. So, yeah, I have feelings. Yeah, I wish I had the power. I could have snatched that man and throw them in the river. Sometimes I got so angry, I said, Most High, get all the white folks that are mean to us. Just kill them. Just let them drop dead. I get tired. I do too. I'm like FEMA.
You understand?
I could get I was a revolutionary when I was young. It doesn't reflect what I say on this station. And
so
I'm not saying all, but
so
I just could.
So, Julie, I'm in six.
Yeah.
We got 20 minutes left. I'm going to let Cartrell finish, then you can continue on, okay?
Y'all gonna tell me. Y'all got to let me know, because you know I can, when I start talking. Okay, let me put myself on mute.
Yeah, let Katya finish up. Then you can have the mic.
Yes, sir. So what we don't understand is that we have deadly enemies. We naive for the fact that there's people out there trying to kill us. And they shoot at us. And they do it fearlessly. They encourage themselves in evil plans, verse 5. They talk about laying snares secretly, which they do. They say, who will see them? These people have gotten away with major crimes and think that y'all don't see them in regards to how they treated us. They plot injustice. We say no justice, no peace. No, these people are plotting injustice, saying we have made a perfect plan, Moscow Mitch. Surely man's mind and heart are cunning, Donald Trump. But y'all will shoot at them. Uh-oh, they got a problem. They'll be suddenly struck down with an arrow. Their own tongue shall ruin them. And we see that happening as we speak. Their own tongue, their lying tongue. All who see them will shake their heads. And if you're watching the January 6th congressional hearings, you should be shaking your head. Because it's astonishing what these people, what lengths they would go through just to keep power. All mankind shall be afraid. How much of mankind shall be afraid?
All.
Okay. Y'all don't miss words, do you? All mankind shall be afraid. All mankind shall declare the work of Yah. Because he's going to make it happen, right? And shall wisely ponder what he has done. Yeah. When Yah make his presence felt and his plan understood, mankind is going to think, like, damn, we was way off course. And guess what? Yah says the righteous shall be glad in Yah. All right? Are you trying to be righteous now so you'll be glad in Yah? Are you waiting? And shall take refuge in him. Are you taking refuge in Yah now? Or are you waiting for the last minute? All the upright in heart. So your heart got to be right. Because he heard what Yah said about the idolaters. He's going to snatch their heart. Your heart better be right. And it better be upright. Even though you're not perfect, your heart better be right. All the upright in heart shall praise Yah. All the righteous shall be glad in Yah and shall take refuge in him. What are you doing? Are you doing these things? Are you taking refuge in Yah? Are you trying to be upright in heart? Those are the questions y'all going to be asking you. It ain't what you say. Y'all watching what you're doing. And he's watching what's in your heart. So you better be pure in heart for Yah's plan. Praise Yah. All praise, glory, honor to the Most High Yah and King David with his prophecies, because this is prophecy right here.
Praise Yah, God.
Hallelujah.
Now, Sister Yehudi, a short commentary. Short commentary.
Sorry about that.
No problem. I ain't no baby. We family. Stop it. Just give me the commentary.
When I see our people, and I always say I do, I really love my people. I had the opportunity to grow up around our people, good, bad, or indifferent. And what hurts my heart is when I'm around our people most of the time, I see our despair, our downtrodden. And I don't mean that they're poor and financially, just in spirit. And as a mother, I've always wanted to spread my wings and just comfort my people. And even though I'm only human, I do what I can and ask the Most High for forgiveness and ask him, what more can I do? And I have to humble myself. Even with all the tragedies that are upon us, I have to praise him because, like what was said earlier, and I'll say, wrap it up. We're able to talk on this line. I'm not concerned about the government. I don't, you know, so what? People are so paranoid. I said, look, they Right, they can listen to your phone call. They can see where you're going, know where you live. Big deal. So, hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Yuri. Sister Abby, do you have a small commentary?
No, I'm good. That, all I know is that I'm trying to stay on that righteous path and keep my heart pure and make sure I stay with y'all all the way through.
Praise y'all. Katria, any short comments?
I love the ninth verse in this song where the Most High, where King David says, all mankind shall be afraid. They shall declare the work of Yah and shall wisely ponder what he has done. We pondering what Yah has done, what Yah is doing, before we become afraid, and we have the fear of Yah in us, so we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel that we already have the curve. And I pray that our people meditate on what we've read, because we've uncovered some nuggets tonight, baby, nuggets tonight. Go back and read it. The Most High is not playing. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Good
praise
night.
God.
We love you. Shalom.
What my brother and sister said, I concur with, and praise the Most High. And we strongly advise you to burn the midnight oil. I mean, study, 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 study. And also encourage you to get your new heart, one like King Dog, who loved the Most High with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself. Because it's virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters if you hate what you looks like you in the mirror. Learn to love yourself so you can love your brothers and sisters.
Can
we
I
love
get
you?
My
Stallone
and
yes,
good night in?
Yes, ma'am.
Stallone and good night. And just remember that y'all loves you and so do I.
That's good. We love you too, sister. We love y'all.
Yeah.
God bless y'all. Break y'all and order y'all steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It ain't cute. It's not working for you. It's working on you. We love you. Good night.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sunny in the sky, you know how I feel. Reeds drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, oh, and I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. Rivers running free, you know how I feel. Blossoms in the tree, oh, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean. Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and this bold world for me, and I'm feeling good. Stars, when you shine, you know what I feel. Scent of the pine, you know what I feel. Oh, freedom is mine. Oh, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, is a new day, is a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.